Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. And does this sound like you? You grew up in your parents' religious tradition. You've left it behind, but you want some kind of spiritual connection or spiritual practice in your life. Well, my next guest can help. You may know Thomas More from his previous bestsellers, Care of the Soul, Soulmates, Dark Nights of the Soul. His new book is called The Religion of One's Own, A Guide to Creating a Personal Spirituality in a Secular World. And Thomas More, welcome to WNYC. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
I'm really glad to be with you this morning.
And listeners, call in. If you've been trying to create a religion of your own, if you don't have an existing one that fits you, 212-433-WNYC. Or if you need some advice, some help with that, 212-433-9692. Or you can post your question or comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Thomas More, you do actually offer advice for developing your own religious rituals. Why do you think this kind of advice is needed today?
Well, it's needed today because so many people are, I think, succumbing to the secular world we live in because religion hasn't been terribly compelling for many. I run into so many people who wish they could go back to the religion they grew up in, but they just can't bring themselves to do it. And yet, you know, they miss a regular practice, and they can't find anything. So I thought it would be a good idea to offer some guidance, you know, and put some language into a way of being religious without necessarily being part of a religious community.
Give me any example from your book of somebody who's developed their own rituals.
Well, I use the example from the past of someone like George O'Keeffe, the painter. You know, she was someone who didn't want to have anything to do with organized religion. And yet she painted religiously. You know, she found her way to New Mexico, where she really began to flourish. She found her place. And I always say that one piece of your own religion is to find out where to live, to find that place where you feel at home and your creativity begins to flourish. That's a religious act, actually, and you find that in the traditional religions, that suggestion to do that sort of thing. And in fact, what I do in this book is almost every instance say, here's something we can do today in our own situation. It looks secular. But if you look at some of the traditions in the past, you'll get some guidance and be able to see that these things that look so ordinary in daily life, like finding the right place to live in, that is traditionally a religious practice.
And luckily, people don't have to invent religions from scratch, because you also remind us we can borrow ideas that we encounter in various religions on our search. I like that. A Buddhist ritual here, a Muslim one there, a Jewish one there that works for you. Give me another example besides Georgia O'Keeffe.
Well, another example might be an ordinary person. Several people, a lot of people tell me about how they have their ordinary practices of going into nature. Now, that's another, you know, obvious thing maybe, but a lot of people go into nature. They go to the ocean, or they go climbing in the, you know, in a mountain, or they walk into the forest and think, well, this is just something we'll do for a weekend. But if you have the framework in mind, if it's in your imagination that this could be part of my religious activity, you might do it with a deeper intention and with more regularity, and place it within the context of giving your life this deep dimension that religion would otherwise give you. So that's a very ordinary thing. You know, I mean, like for me, for many years, it was walking my dog, you know, and I always said that my dog was my Zen master, you know, because he showed me how to walk and how to look and how to be quiet, all those things.
Jessica in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC with Thomas More. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Hi, Jessica.
So what I told the person who answered the phone is my husband's Catholic, I'm Jewish, but I'm a yoga teacher. My first husband was a Muslim, so we're very multi, not cultural, but religious well. And what we decided to do with my daughter, who's our daughter, who's 12, rather than raise her in one particular faith or the other, we're exposing her over the course of this year every month to a different religious tradition, with the idea of we're sort of opening the door for her for a peek into all these different traditions. And at the end of the year, we're putting together what we're calling a coming-of-age ceremony, where she'll, you know, talk about what she's getting out of this, with the idea that at 12, 13, you're coming of age to do good deeds in the world, and this is opening the door for her to various ways other faiths, other cultures have embodied that.
That's an inspirational story, Thomas.
I think she should write that up, you know, and publish it somewhere, because it's such a wonderful thing to do. You know, some people object. They say this is the cafeteria approach and it's too superficial. I don't think it has to be, especially the way you're describing it, because your children, especially children, can have a really solid introduction to a variety of religious and spiritual traditions.
And that gives them. And what we want her to see is that there are many different paths, but ultimately the destination is the same, and the goal is the same, to be a compassionate, caring human being. So, and we have a friend who's a celebrant, whose name is Jack Kafari, who's kind of the guide for this. And he's been studying all different faiths. He's Protestant, but he goes to Zohar classes. He's very inspired by all different religious faiths, and hopefully he'll help her kind of see the central threads that are really very common.
Jessica, thank you so much for your
thank
story.
You.
That's really great. You know, one thing that struck me, Thomas, more about her story is that whatever tradition she's drawing on for her daughter, she's got the goal in mind, which is to have her daughter be a contributor to society. I think that was very clear in the way she put it on two different occasions in that phone call. And the kind of spiritual practice that you write about is often solo stuff or family stuff. And I wonder if there's any active social consciousness to your kind of self-help. Obviously, you know, Jesus was a community organizer. Yesterday, the nation celebrated Martin Luther King and what he accomplished for the world as a preacher, among other things. I think your stuff is more inward-looking. Is that enough?
No, it's not enough. But I think in order to be really socially engaged from a deep place within you, that you have to also have this inward depth to what you're doing. So when I call it a religion of one's own, I want to emphasize in this particular case how important it is to own this religiousness for yourself. But I certainly don't mean to keep it there. You know, I mean, I would assume that once you have that, you know, you feel connected to nature and you feel connected to the world and you feel this thing stirring in you, the natural inclination is to go out and do something. It gives rise to an ethical sense that's very deep. And so I certainly hope that this kind of religiousness would, and I expect it would end up in some kind of social engagement.
McKenna in Somers, New York. You're on WNYC. Hello, McKenna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
So I'm calling because, see, I grew up Mormon. I'm originally from Utah, and I moved out here when I was 18 years old. And, you know, transitioning from growing up as a Mormon, it's very social. And, you know, you have family home evening on Mondays. You have young women's or young men's Tuesdays or Thursdays, and then some place in the weekend you have visiting teaching, and then Sundays is 3 hours worth of church. Now, to go from that dynamic where it's socially structured for you and then transitioning to a world where my boyfriend, he's Catholic. He grew up Catholic, but it's mostly Catholic from sort of, you know, they celebrate the holidays and get-togethers, but he doesn't necessarily go each week. And, you know, to transition from that social dynamic where it's very structured to a world where that isn't how things are done here on the East Coast necessarily, because it is very much part of the culture in Utah and Arizona.
So what do you think you need?
you know, I don't know. That's the thing. I feel like my question is, you know, what would your suggestions be for that transition? Because I do feel sometimes there is something missing, but I don't necessarily agree with everything that I was taught within my religion. I do believe in God, but, you know, there are definitely parts and pieces of it where I don't necessarily agree.
So Thomas Moore, how would you help McKenna find her path? It sounds like she's a little bit caught between something that she was glad to leave on one level, but without something else to grasp onto that's as, you know, as grounded here.
Well, you know, what I find is that many people who leave their religion behind, it gave them a great deal. Like in this case, it gave her a social life, a very active social life and around religion. And when you let go of that, some people feel guilty about it, you know, and so they have a hard time going on from there. I would think that if you do go ahead and as you grow and mature, your idea of religion and even your thought about where you're coming from in religion changes. You have to own that and say you're okay. And this is a good thing to do because you're becoming an adult now and you can't have a child's approach to religion anymore. And that may help you connect up with people at a different level. I don't know if you can always expect to be able to go to a church where everyone's going to support you and you're going to be able to have this ready-made community all the time. I think as we get older, maybe, and as we appropriate our own religion, and as she said, you know, you decide you can't agree with everything from the past anymore. You're becoming more of an individual. That's when you establish really solid relationships with people who are in the same boat, and you can be honest with each other. And I think everybody then needs mutual support.
Is that helpful, right, McKenna?
Yes, that is helpful. It is, because the truth is, it is, like you said, you do receive a lot of support within the Mormon Church. They're very kind people. And so there is a portion of me that feels guilty because that is the way I was raised. And they're good people. They're, you know, they all mean well, as any religion does. And so, yes, that did help. Thank you very much.
McKenna, thank you very much. And my guest is Thomas Moore, who you may know from some of his past bestsellers like Care of the Soul. He's now the author of A Religion of One's Own, A Guide to Creating a Personal Spirituality in a Secular World. And Jim and Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you? Listen, I think this is a great idea to accommodate people's need for spirituality, but one of my biggest concerns with the change from religious communities is that usually there's a moral base for meeting together, and in that environment, people can do good things. You have a group of people around you who are like-minded, positive-minded, and maybe goal-oriented, and it's so much easier to address things like gun violence or other social things when there's a group of people around you who are like-minded, whereas individual religions makes you have to go search these people out individually, and the cohesiveness that you might achieve in a community is lost with the individual religion.
Yeah, and it's related, I think, to the experience that McKenna was just relating that she's going through right now, having moved to New York. So, Thomas Moore, what would you want to add about that?
Well, I would add that what I said before, I guess, that that having a religion of one's own doesn't mean that you can't be part of an organized religion. You know, you can do it then too. I mean, if you're part of a religious community, you can still make this a religion of your own because, as McKenna said, she doesn't agree with everything that was taught, and she's growing up and getting older and thinking things through. You can do it that way. You can stay with the community if that works for you. But a lot of people today just can't. I'm telling you, they tell me with a lot of passion and sadness that they just can't bring themselves to be part of that religious community
anymore.
What do you
think that is? And because you put this in the context of never again sensing any conflict between one tradition and another, that's a line in the book. And Jim, thank you for your call. And I think that would be great. But I think there seems to be a drift toward people dividing up within so many religions, either toward a more conservative fundamentalist Christianity or Judaism or Islam, those branches are growing, or abandoning their religions altogether. You see that happening in the world, right?
Yes, I do. Well, on that particular point, what I see happening is that People, as I've been saying, people have often been brought up with a kind of childhood understanding of their religion. And one way to get over this divide between the conservative and the more liberal, I think, is to study the religion more deeply. I've heard this from Christians and from Jewish people and others, that I met this one woman told me that a rabbi, a young rabbi, came to her congregation, and he had a lot of new ideas and had done a lot of study, and it enlivened her. She said, wow, this is, you know, suddenly I want to go back to my Judaism. And I think some of the ultra-conservatism that we sense comes from, a real desire to remain faithful to the tradition, but not necessarily with the subtleties of understanding it all. I think that we could come together more if we could study it more. In fact, in my book, I suggest that we follow the monks of old as a model of how we might be religious in the secular age. And one of the things the monks did was study. You know, we don't do enough of that. And I think rather than just have a superficial understanding, either of our own tradition or as we try several different ones, we really have to study. Mm-hmm. I don't mean they have to go to school, but you have to mm-hmm. you have to seriously take a mm-hmm. look at what's going on.
Rochelle in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Rochelle, you're going to be our last call, and we've got about a minute for you. Hi.
Good morning. Yes, when I went to Orthodox Jewish yeshiva when I was a kid, my parents were Holocaust survivors. I was really into religion. It was very, very Orthodox. But what they were saying was that we were special, the Orthodox Jews. And I would stand, I remember when I was very young, standing out on the street in Brooklyn, looking at people and thinking, why am I more special than them? They look like good people. And when I grew up, it was just too limiting to be in one group. And I found, just by chance, a Tibetan teacher that just really spoke to me and made me understand how I could work with myself in a spiritual way.
And Rochelle, I'm sorry to say we have to leave it there because we're out of time, but we have time for a last comment for about a half a minute. Thomas Moore, she was looking for something more universal, it sounds like, that there's no one chosen people, but she wound up in another religion.
Yes, well, I think today we have the opportunity to get a great deal from other religious traditions, and we don't have to become a member. So you can either keep your own tradition, or you can be a seeker and go in and really learn a great deal and take a lot for yourself from all the different traditions that you explore.
Well, we could have done that one all day, but we're out of time with Thomas Moore, who has written A Religion of One's Own, A Guide to Creating a Personal Spirituality in a Secular World. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, you can keep the conversation going at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or tweet at us. Follow me on Twitter @BrianLehrer, on Facebook @BrianLehrer WNYC.